Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of the joy that we have in the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for hymn writers that express that for us as we lift up our voice to you and think of the joy that we have in Christ. We commit this service to you and thank you for the blessing of being able to be here together with your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Well, I'd like to welcome each one of you to our evening service here at Morrow Bible Church on the 20th of February, 2022. Thank you all for being here tonight, and I'd like to welcome each of you that are here, and we have a visitor with us tonight. That's Piper. So we want to welcome Piper, Jeff and Kathy's granddaughter here. Special welcome to Piper. And she's been here before, but I think it's been a while since she's been here, but glad to have Piper here. And also, anybody who is watching online or listening to us, thank you for doing that and joining with us, and we trust that you can hear us loud and clear tonight. And same for those who might give testimony. We have our mic. Who's got it? Anna is going to do it tonight. She's going to run the mic if you have a testimony. So if you have something to share by way of testimony to the Lord about what the Lord has done, we'll get the mic over to you. For our announcements here, and also one more thing, we're going to have a favorite hymn. So favorite hymn, that means someone can pick out what you'd like everyone to sing. So this is your warning. Someone can pick a favorite in a few moments. So you can check something in the hymnal. All right. For the announcement, as I mentioned, Morrow Manor, we did not have that service today. They had COVID cases at Morrow Manor right now. So they told us that we couldn't come after all. And so we'll try again for next month. But pray for the residents there who have COVID. This Tuesday, a few men are going to be going out to tour a missionary aviation training center out in Coshocton. I was contacted by a young man who would like to go there. He's raising support to go there and train. And in the course of our correspondence, he said, "Would you like to come out for a tour so you could see the place?" And I thought, well, we could probably do that and just check it out. And so Tuesday is a day we're gonna go. And I know it's last minute, but if anybody else would like to go with us, you'd be welcome to. He said we could have up to 10 probably in the group. And so we have a few people going right now. So right now it's me, Walker, Wiley, and Tom Evans, and maybe Pastor Gossman, I don't know. Plenty. Okay, so if anyone else wants to go, you're free. Just let me know. I just have to have a head count of how many are going to come out. We'll be leaving around 11. I think we're going to leave from Walker's house, just leave from their house there, and then be meeting for lunch in Coshocton at Bob Evans and then having the tour after that. It's a field trip. I called it a field trip this morning. It's sort of a field mission trip in a way. And then Wednesday, we'll meet for prayer at 7 p.m. So I want to invite you all to come together to pray. And it's an important time that we have to meet for prayer. Again, the phone is an option. We have a few people that are doing that. And just a way to come together and pray. Thursday, I have some time for evangelism set aside there, 3:30 to 5. And anyone would be welcome to come out for that. Then on Friday, we have a church fellowship night that's planned. And that's for all ages. Everybody can come. And it is a Hawaiian theme. So we're going to try to have some Hawaiian food. And there's a sign up on the bulletin board with some ideas. Maybe you have some other ideas, Hawaiian food. And so try to bring some of that, and we'll eat at this function. And it'll start at 6. We'll probably be eating first, I think, and then having some activities, a devotional. They're also, you're encouraged to wear a Hawaiian shirt or Hawaiian outfit of some sort. And there will be prizes for the best costume for the adults and children, I believe. So after I heard about that, I decided I would go when I heard there would be prizes. But anyway, so I hope you can come on Friday night. Then looking ahead to March, there is a women's fellowship planned on Tuesday, March 8th. Then there's an elders meeting. That's our regular elders meeting Thursday, March 10th. Daylight savings time begins. We are already getting close to thinking about that again. So that's coming up. And then March 19th, Saturday, men's breakfast. We would like to plan another men's breakfast. So we're looking at that date. Okay. And then the camp announcements as well. Registration is open for the youth camps and all the camps, I think. And so that's there. The April 1st deadline, if you register before then, you get the free T-shirt for the youth campers. So that may be something you want to just go ahead and register. And the information is there. Church directory, we are trying to get it updated a little bit. And some of you have gotten me the information, new pictures, started to get those trickling in. And so we are working on that. And so just a reminder, if you could let me know about any changes there. And we'll try to keep that up to date. Okay. We do have a handout that we're singing from tonight, although we're not going to sing it until after the message. Sing from it. So the one for today, it has Rejoice in the Lord in it. We're going to be singing that tonight, but after the message tonight. So so make sure you have one of those, and we'll try to use it tonight. Anybody still need one? I don't even know if Ben needs one. All right, I'll have to check and see. My ushers aren't here tonight, so... what we'd like to do here, I've been using a lot of handouts, I know, and we're going to try to get a little booklet with some of these songs we've been singing so we can sing them again. And we'll just we'll get a booklet together with 10 or 12 of these extra songs that maybe we can come back to and keep learning. Just try to make sure we have it. All right. All right, we'll have a favorite now. So if you're ready with your favorite, let Ben know.
Yeah, Dad. 30. Number 30. We'll sing Bless the Lord and Let's Stand.
Thank you.
open it up for testimonies tonight. So would anyone like to go first? We've got the mic. Anna has the mic. So just raise your hand and we'll send the mic. Okay, Pastor Gossman, go over there. Give the mic to Pastor Gossman.
Well, before I give a report on our morning, I asked for favorite songs as we sung that to him. You may have the joy bells. As a youth, I remember singing a lot of these hymns, and that was one. I remember one job that I didn't particularly care for on the farm was washing the milkers, having to wash a number of milkers and the intricacies that my uncle made sure that it was all done right. And it was before breakfast that we'd been working already. It just felt like it was, boy, I need to go to breakfast. But in the midst of that, I would often sing that hymn. You may have the joy bells ringing in your heart. The joy we have in Christ, even in the midst of what we don't necessarily like to do at a particular time. Some of you know we were down to Eastside Bible Church this morning. That was a church that was started here under the Ohio Bible Mission. We were involved. We prayed for it as a church. Prayed for it when they were thinking about starting. Prayed for it as we were looking for a man to go down there. And then even throughout their existence, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years since they started that church. When we were last, we stopped in there, I'm not sure what the occasion was. It was about a year ago, maybe when we were on our way to Georgia. I don't remember. But anyway, the pastor that was there, Pastor Pringle, had moved on to another ministry, contacted the present man, and he was the pastor that married our pastor and his wife, Dr. Robert Vincent, and so we went down there this morning, and their Sunday school hour was devoted for letting the people know how the Lord had been working in a number of ways. They have recently acquired a church property. There was a Baptist church there that had declined and was down to, I think, five people, and that they ended up. We've heard it was a merger. Really, it was basically given over to them. This facility, it's a small facility on about 4 acres of property, but they're having to go in and they're basically stripping the inside and setting it up. A lot of renovation that needs to be done, they were talking about what it was going to cost because of being able to have Sunday school room and being able to, needing to open it up and close it, and what the folding partitions were going to cost, they are very expensive. And it reminded me of our church and when we got this church, how the basement was open and we needed partitions and how Jim Page had, in renovating a Methodist church in Mount Gilead, he was contracted some work there, had actually gotten the partitions out of that church that we have here, and they were as the Lord provided for us here in our beginnings, they had this same thing basically happen to them. They've got an architect working on their program, but they didn't know what they were going to do. because they wanted to be able to open it up enough for a fellowship area as well as for their sanctuary, and they were right down to the end of time to having to give it to their architect and Phil Gordon, who is one of their deacons there. The last minute went on Craigslist, and there was a church in Newark that was advertising folding partitions. They ended up yesterday went and picked those petitions up. They were exactly the same size that they needed for their church, same height. I mean, there's all kinds of variables that it could have been, but they were just rejoicing in how in every little detail God had superintended. And they said in this church in Newark, it was a Presbyterian church, that those partitions had hardly ever been used. They were folded up in it, where they folded back against the wall in a thing, and they hadn't even... They said the people in the church couldn't remember them ever being out and being used. And so this is... What they got was probably would cost, from what they said, probably... With what they got, probably $50,000-$60,000, which was going to be a lot of the cost of what they were able to do in their renovations, and they got them for $3,000. So, but anyway, it was just a blessing to be with them, blessing to see the way God has provided for them, the way God provided for Dr. Vincent to come and to be there, and a very gracious family. They even invited us over for lunch. And so we had a good time to talk, and hardly enough time to get here. I thought we visited too long, because I go, uh-oh, we're not going to make it in time, but we made it. But anyway, it was just a blessing, and I thought an answer to many of your prayers as we prayed over the years for this church to see what the Lord is doing. And so and they've picked up a number of folks since Pastor Vincent has come, and it was just a blessing to be with them, so thank you.
All right, thank you for that update. Appreciate that. All right, anyone else tonight? Other testimonies you'd like to share? Anything else? Just encourage you. Okay, Samuel.
Psalm 127, verses 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And I guess the Lord didn't think that our quiver was full enough, so we're expecting another one in September. So I just wanted to announce that.
Praise the Lord. So praise and a prayer request there. So as we know. We're glad to have the Finnerans here. And Samuel is here in a more official capacity now. And as an intern, assistant, that's a very part-time position at our church. But we're thankful that he's able to be here with his family. And one of the things that we'd like to have him do is to give him some opportunities to preach. And so tonight will be one of those opportunities. And we'd like to, once a month or so, have him preach on a Sunday night. And he has a lot on his plate between that and his family and his job. And he's also planning to start one class at a time here. He's been accepted at Maranatha Baptist University, transferred his credits there, and going to be starting online in several weeks with the class. So, got to pray for Samuel. A lot to balance there, but just take it one day at a time. That's all we can do. So, all right, anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Anybody else? Any praises or prayer requests you want to mention? Anything else? I shared this on Wednesday night, but Monday we went out to Cracker Barrel kind of to celebrate Eva's birthday. It was on Monday, and we had a gift card to Cracker Barrel, so we're going to use that. And we ordered our food, and waitress came, took the menus, and manager came by and said, I just want you to know that somebody has paid for your check tonight, anonymously. And I said, okay, you wouldn't say who it was, just somebody had done that. Apparently people do that from time to time. It's the first time it happened to us. But, had I known that in advance, I would have ordered a lot more food. I should have said, can you bring that menu back? And then I'm going to order dessert. But that was just a blessing from the Lord. And then Friday, do you want to tell about that? I don't know if I can tell it right. The groceries? You want me to tell it? All right, maybe you can tell it. I don't think it's on. Turn it on.
I realize I have a low voice. That's one thing I've noticed. Anyway, I've been using the Walmart grocery pickup, and on Friday he went and picked up the groceries, and then they came to the church, visited some people. Anyway, it was a while before they made it back home, and when they made it back home, we started unloading and putting things away. And we realized after about the third or fourth item that I hadn't ordered any of this stuff. And I was unpacking some other lady's groceries, 15 Roma tomatoes and just other things that I didn't order. And so we talked to Walmart. Anyway, we ended up getting that lady's groceries for free, and they still had our groceries at the store. So, yeah, it was just a very unexpected and undeserved another blessing from this week.
They couldn't take the groceries back because of COVID, so we had to keep them. Ended up getting the ones that we did order. So that was just another blessing from the Lord. And for whatever reason, he chose to do that this week. So, all right, anyone else tonight? All right, Mrs. Lewis, you need to take the mic back there.
I just like to thank the Lord for 49 years of marriage and having a good godly husband and three boys and grandchildren and daughters-in-laws, and just thank him for all the trials and everything that you go through, and how he has blessed us tremendously with so very much. And when you pray for one thing, it seems like God always goes up and beyond. And just so very thankful for all that he has done for us.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Any other testimonies? Just raise your hand. Anybody else tonight? Okay, Samuel. Another one.
I guess it was beginning of 2021, I started reading through the Bible in chronological order, just one chapter at a time, not trying to read the Bible in a year, but just wanting to. I have a life application study Bible, and so it's the first time I've ever had a Bible like this, and the first time I've ever read through the Bible chronologically, and I was reading through a psalm, and the way that they have it set up, I have a series of psalms that are written in more of a, they aren't the praise and worship and, heart-filled type of psalms. They're more of the ones that are are downcast and, you know, crying out to God. And also, and the one that I read this morning was talking about judgment upon the Israelites because they were offering sacrifices ritualistically. And they weren't offering from the heart anymore. And God said, you know, forget the sacrifices. That I offer your thanksgiving to me. That's what I want. And at the end of that psalm, I appreciated it, but it was like, okay, well, there's that. But then I went down to the study notes, and the way that it applied that passage to convict me was just great. It said, too often we can get in the rituals and the habits of going to church or tithing, and we get into the motion and the habit of that, but our heart isn't in it. And God wants us to make sure that our heart's in it, and that it doesn't become something that just becomes a ritual or a habit in our lives, but something that we are offering to the Lord wholeheartedly. And so that was just a great challenge to my heart, and a great application of that psalm, and I just appreciated that.
Amen. Thank you. Right? Anyone else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Stand up. Any other testimonies? All right. Well, we'll close her down there, and we'll have one more hymn, and we'll have the message here tonight.
Our last hymn before the message will be number 268, How Firm a Foundation. Let's stand and sing hymn number
Thank you. wanted to say thanks to the people working in the sound booth, Scott and Jeff. They've really been holding down the fort there, and we appreciate that. It's nice to be able to have somebody doing that, and I don't have to think about it at all, really, except to make sure the mic is turned on. And you want to take your cell phone out of your pocket there because it interferes. So just appreciate them and those that are able to help them from time to time. So thank you, Jeff and Scott, for holding down the fort there in the back.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to be starting a series through the book of James, and I hope that it will be a blessing to your hearts and to your lives, and something that I think it covers a variety of different topics, and I think that touches upon a lot of key issues in our lives that we face every day. And so I trust that this will be an encouragement to you. James chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's open in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach tonight and for the message that you've laid on my heart and for the process in which you've worked in my life in order for me to develop this message. And God, I just ask that you would be my mouthpiece, that you would hide me behind the cross, that people would see only you tonight. And I ask, God, that you would reveal yourself through your word to each of us here tonight. And in our lives, and where we can apply this and the truths of this passage to our lives. We love you, God, and just thank you so much for your love for us and for what your Holy Spirit will do through the message tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of my message is Experiencing Through Joy. Experiencing Through Joy. And a lot of times when we think of joy, we think of happiness. And those two don't always go together. But we'll see more of what true joy really is. But the purpose of this message tonight is that every Christian may know and experience the true joy of the Lord in his life. How many of y'all are football fans? Okay, Andrew, is he the only football fan? Really? Okay, we got one other. Okay, well, that was a little less than I expected, honestly. But if you know anything about football, you know that there is some tackling involved. There's some nitty gritty plays and stuff that, you know, bone crushing plays that can be a bit intense sometimes. And some people, that's what they love about football. That's also what they love about hockey too. There was a pastor once, and he gave an illustration. He said he was playing in football in high school. He'd actually transferred from playing tennis to playing football, and thought he'd give football a try. And it was a little different than tennis, he found out. And so he was doing a practice, and the coach told him to line up and that they were going to tackle each other. And he thought that it was kind of just going to be, you know, kind of just engaging, not really hurting each other because we're a team. Well, when he blew the whistle, the guy that he was up against, like, charged him like a bull and just plowed him to the ground. And he got the wind knocked out of him and it hurt. And his coach gets over top of him and asks him what he's doing. And he said, well, that hurt really bad. And
He's like, well, what do you expect? This is football. That's what we do. And he applied that to the Christian life. You know, and Peter, we'll read that here. I'll reference that later. But I'm going to go ahead and read it right now. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Think it not strange when ye are tried by a fiery trial." In the Christian life, it's a little bit like football. You know, we shouldn't think it strange when we get tackled, when we get hit by a fiery trial. But how often are we just taken aback, completely surprised, and start to question God when we face hard times? But it's the Christian life. And that's what we should expect in the Christian life. Is that all that it is? No. Is that all that football is? No. But we shouldn't think it strange when we get hit by trials. And in James chapter 1 it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now when it starts out, James the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Who's he talking to? So he's talking to the 12 tribes here, and that have been driven out of Jerusalem due to persecution. They've been driven out of their homeland. And he says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So what is joy? Well, the first characteristic of joy is that joy looks beyond the circumstances of this life. It isn't conditional upon the situations that we encounter from day to day. James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. How? How are we supposed to count the hardships in life, the tackles in life, the blows of life? Joy. How are we supposed to count that as joy in our lives? Well, he follows that with knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Sometimes when we encounter trials that we just don't understand, which is usually most of them, in desperate attempt to maybe have a good spirit about it and a good attitude, we might say something like, "I just wish that I knew what God's purpose was behind all this. If I just knew what God's purpose was about this, I might have a little more patience with God through all this. I might be able to bear this a little better, but I just don't understand." Well, James says that not only can you know one of the benefits of your trials, but you can also have joy in the midst of your trial. When you realize that the trying of your faith develops and grows your patience. You know, Jesus exemplified this perfectly in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How often have you experienced a trial where it just wears you down? And you get in the thick of it and it's just, your faith is getting tired and your will to believe that God is still good is starting to wane. Well, this passage says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? Joy isn't necessarily enjoying the trials that befall us, but is the strength that sustains us to bear up those trials with hope and anticipation of what good God has in store for you through that trial. We shouldn't be surprised when we're faced with very difficult and trying circumstances that befall us or even completely turn our world upside down. Or at least that's what the Word of God states. In 1 Peter 4:12 through 14, as we read, it says, "Think it not strange." Don't be surprised when you face fiery trials in this life. It preaches well. And it may even get a few amens and a few head nods. But when it comes right down to it, what's your response? What will be your response when your boss comes up to you and says that your position isn't any longer needed in the company and they let you go and you don't have a job? Your security blanket is ripped out right from under you. I had a supervisor in South Carolina at my job that I loved, and I do love him. And I've grown very close to him. He's a fellow believer and unashamed of the gospel. He'd been there for 38 years, and that happened to him. That happened to him 2 weeks after I left. What about an unforeseen health condition that arises, maybe cancer or a heart condition or something that you didn't expect? What's going to be your response then? Or how about when you lose a loved one unexpectedly and there's an undeniably painful void in your heart? What will be your response then? Life can be really tough sometimes and a tough thing to face. And I have no doubt that there's some of you here tonight that have woken up some mornings through trials. And you really didn't want to get out of bed. You really didn't have a desire or a motivation to get out of bed and to keep on living. And life can hit you hard sometimes like that. And sometimes it helps to know of somebody else that has felt that same way. Paul felt that way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verses 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And then skip down to verses 8 through 11. It says, "For we would not have you ignorant, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. For we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Even Paul despaired of life. He got so low in his walk with the Lord. Paul was arguably one of the best Christians that ever lived. One of the most powerful, dynamic Christians that ever lived. And yet he got to a point in his life where he despaired even of life itself. But what does he say after that? He says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Even when he got to that point, he recognized that his focus was on himself. And when he turned that focus back to God, which raises the dead, his hope was revived. And his hope that God had delivered him in the past and would still deliver him, even out of this depression that he was in at the time. Joy doesn't just ooze out of us naturally as we endure through the pains and the difficulties of this life. In fact, when we read in the book of James, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, I think that sometimes we can almost tend to read that in a idealistic way. Kind of the same way that we read through 1 Corinthians 13. It's a ideal model of love. And so we set that as a model to try to attain to, but it's in the back of our minds we don't really hold ourselves to that's actually possible to meet that. And I think sometimes that we read through verses like this, just like do all things without murmurings and disputings. Try one day with that and see how far you get. But we can look at verses like that, verses like this, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We can read through passages like that in an idealistic way, as though it's unattainable, as though that's what we ultimately should, the attitude that we should reflect. But, I mean, God understands that this is hard right now, and it hurts. If we're completely honest with ourselves, I think sometimes we can tend to read it that way. However, it's more than just an ideal model for us to strive to imitate. Our hearts, when put under an immense amount of pressure from a trial, have pleaded for God to remove our burden, as we felt that it was more than we could bear. But yet in those moments, God allows us opportunities. He allows us opportunities and to have a deeper sense of what Christ experienced on the cross and the suffering that he went through for us. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure," this is Paul speaking. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What a powerful outlook on trials. And when it's hard enough to endure through trials in our lives, but when to actually be glad for them and to thank God for them. What a that almost seems like he's crazy, really, or that he's not living in a realistic world. I mean, trials are hard. It hurts to get tackled. It hurts to get hit by the blows of life. But he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is looking at your trials through God's perspective and what He can do and is doing through those trials. God allows us a deeper sense of appreciation for the sufferings of our Savior, Jesus Christ, through our trials. Even Jesus felt the need, as did Paul, to get alone and to plead with agony that this cup would be removed from him, that it would pass from him, that he wouldn't have to partake of the sufferings that he was about to endure through. And when he was stretched out on that old rugged cross, struggling for every breath that he took, he endured the pain for the joy that was set before him, delighting in a work far greater than the temporary pain that he would go through. Literally, the plan of salvation for the world was taking place through his agonizing pain, both physically as well as spiritually. If God could use the worst suffering for the greatest good, if he can take a symbol of crucifixion and turn it into a symbol of hope and of love and of salvation, then surely it isn't too hard for him to use our suffering for good as a part of his greater master plan. Joy looks beyond circumstances and is cultivated in our hearts and in our minds when we wholly trust that God is performing this refining work in our lives as we experience our earthly trials. As that last hymn that we sung stated, I love it. It says, "The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." What rich words. He is working in your life through trials that you may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting nothing. It says in verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Trials are not evidence that the Lord has somehow forgotten you or forsaken you. But rather, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of that. That God is performing His redemptive work in you. Joy doesn't come from everything going our way, but rather it comes from knowing that the God-ordained process of being made complete in Him is presently at work and will not cease until we are made perfect like His Son. Is it a painful process sometimes? Yeah, it sure is. Even excruciating at times. But what a joy we can find through those dark times in knowing that we are being molded and shaped to better reflect the one that we love and worship. Does that mean that we will always be able to discover God's redemptive plan through the loss of a job or the death of a loved one or life-altering health issues? No, not always on this side of glory. But we can be confident in this one thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And He will finish what He started in your life. So first of all, we see that joy isn't conditional upon circumstances. Secondly, we see that joy is full. Turn over to John, book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It says in verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, get this, in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be full. So a joy that is full is when the joy of Christ remains in us and we abide in Him and obey Him and continue in our love. Or continue in His love towards one another. That's when our joy is full. And when we have that joy in our hearts, when we have that true joy in our lives, when we are hit with trials, unexpected circumstances that completely flip our world upside down, we can look at those trials from a different perspective than just circumstances. We can begin to see them through as opportunities, not as somehow maybe God forsaking us or punishing us, but as opportunities for which God can purge us to bring more fruit. As it says in verse 2, it kind of, when it says every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's like, okay, well, you know, that leaves me, you know, as long as I'm bearing fruit in my life, you know. But then it says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That it may bring forth more fruit. So God purges us. He puts us under that pressure as He molds and shapes us. After His will, He purges us that we may bring forth more fruit. So we can, I started out, you know, saying, you know, if we only knew why. The why behind our trial, what God was trying to do through this trial, you know, it might be a little easier. Well, it says right here, He purges us to bring forth more fruit because He loves us and He wants to use us and He's not done with you. He loves you too much to leave you just as you are. We can experience a joy that is full amid trying circumstances, knowing that God is working in our lives to bring forth more fruit, which is a direct result of trials and hardships in our lives. You can find joy in knowing that all the ways that He's changing your heart proves that He loves you. That He loves you too much to leave you as you are. But He wants to grow you and strengthen you and perfect you in His love. Because there's always areas in our lives where we're counting on ourselves and not on God. We may tend to feel that we're adequate in and of ourselves. And if we get to that point where we are counting on the flesh, God will move to bring pressure to bear on that area of our lives to purge us of our dependency upon ourselves and on our flesh, and increase our dependency and our sufficiency in Him and in Him alone. So He writes these things unto us that our joy might be full in knowing the purpose behind His working in our lives. Our joy can be full through Him. Thirdly, joy that is Spirit-filled. Galatians 5:22 lists the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Love and joy. Joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are being led and walking in the Spirit, the joy of the Lord outpours from our lives. His love, that 1 Corinthians 13 love, that love that's kind of unattainable and, you know, idealistic, and that is obtainable if we walk in the Spirit and in the power of His might. If we walk in His love, if we continue in His love as He loved us and gave Himself for us. The fruit of the Spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit produces these character traits that are found in the nature of Christ. And they aren't found in any other source. They aren't found in and of ourselves. It doesn't take that long to understand that. But they're found in Christ alone. They are the byproducts of Christ's control in our lives. We cannot obtain them by trying to get them without His help. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, we must abide in Him and Him in us, as John 15 said. If we walk in the Spirit, the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of our flesh. And the lust of our flesh comes in many different ways, but one of it is to think that we got this. We can do it. That we got all our ducks lined up in a row. That we got all of our plans set out for the next 10 years. And then something happens to completely upturn that and upset that. And we wonder what God is doing. Well, it could be that He sees an area in your life that you're finding your sufficiency in God, in yourself and not in God. If you want to experience a true sense of joy that isn't controlled by circumstances, that isn't altered by difficult times, and that shines through the darkest moments in your life, trust in the promise that God is working all things together for good in your life, to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I know that it's almost become a coined phrase. It's almost become something that's despised when somebody says it to us. Well, you don't understand what I'm going through. But when we truly trust in the promise that God is working all things together for good in our lives, if we love God and are called according to His purpose, if you love God and you are called according to His purpose, He promises that He loves you so much that He's not going to waste your pain. He's not going to waste your suffering. He's not going to waste the hardships in your life. He's going to work every single detail of your life together for good. And we can truly believe that and know that God is refining and purifying you through hardships to perfect you. And you, the Bible says in James chapter 1 there, it says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. There is a part on there is an action on our part. We have to allow God to perfect His work in us. We can choose to become bitter against God and completely upset His plans and His purpose through our trials. We are to let patience have its perfect work. And if you do that, you will come forth as gold. And when you come to the end of yourself, that is when God can take over. Will you surrender yourself to the potter's hands and allow His hands, the pressure of His hands as He molds the clay, to purify you, to perfect you in His perfect will, to work in you both to will and to do His good pleasure? Will you choose to see trials through the eyes of joy? I hope so. Let this challenge your hearts this evening, and as it has mine, to surrender to the potter's hands. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for James and just his pointedness of allowing ourselves to be put under your pressure and choosing to find joy, not necessarily in the pain itself, but in what the purpose is that you have for our trials, to grow us, to make us more like you, that we might bring forth more fruit. Oh God, what a powerful truth if we will only take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We ask God that you would finish this work in our hearts and in our lives tonight. We thank you for it, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your handout, let's go ahead and sing Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Please stand as we sing Rejoice in the Lord. Anybody have an extra copy? I hope that that's the desire of your hearts, and that it's been a challenge to your heart tonight and something that you can take home with you and throughout the week. Thanks for coming tonight. The Lord bless you, and you are dismissed.